Off the Ball, GAA.
I actually text Tommy Rooney for tips on how to start a podcast. I was pricing ayahuasca retreats, so I think for the safety of everybody, it's better off just to throw all the headspace into an intercounty game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.
Welcome along to Thursday night's Football Show, and I'm pretty sure this is the first time the Football Show has ever happened while Ireland are playing a Six Nations game. So it is a first here. Vinny Perth is with us in studio as well. Vinny, are you buzzing for tomorrow night?
Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, it's been
Christmas Eve stuff.
It feels a little bit like that, yeah. It's another year on the scrap heap for me, so it's brilliant. I'm loving it.
How close did you get to coming to getting removed from the scrap heap?
I don't know, anyway, I'm done. So, I think coaches now, this is the difference. Like, pre-season is grand, there's no real pressure. And then all of a sudden, you've got to be ready for Friday night and results come and you lose sleep if you win and you sleep well if you, or the other way around, you lose sleep if you lose and you sleep well if you win. So, there'll be a lot of people excited for tomorrow and nervous at the same time. You know, getting off to a good start for a lot of clubs is really important. You think of the teams at the sort of so-called bottom half of the table going into it, they'll feel a little bit of pressure. Certain managers will, and you know, so it is a relentless league in the sense of very competitive, and teams are very evenly matched outside maybe the top and the bottom, but all the way in the middle. And we've seen that over the last couple of years, a lot of teams will beat each other. So there's a bit of pressure comes with that, you know.
For sure. Tomorrow night, we're hoping anyway that it's going to be Shamrock Rovers versus Dundalk. Hopefully the rain will have subsided by then, the tal is all good and the surface isn't holding as much water as maybe it's done in the past. The easy sort of prediction on Shamrock Rovers in a general sense is that they don't always start the season in flying colours, particularly when they've got a later conclusion to the season with Conference League over the past 2 years. Probably have enough in them to beat a Dundalk side though at home on the first night.
Yeah, you would say you'd expect Rovers to win, you'd expect them to win the league, all of them different bits and pieces. Dundalk have recruited very well this year. Normally, or the last certainly number of years, the team that being promoted probably being everybody's favourite to go down. I don't think that's the case this year. I think Dundalk have done really well. Conor Cairns in goal, and what they've done is Kieran Cunduff has recruited really strong down the spine. Conor Cairns in goal is a very, very good sign, and he'd be one of the better keepers in the league. Cornwell from Bowles, experienced centre-half. Buckley, experienced in that midfield. Mullen from Derry, really good up front. And then they've got Daryl Horgan and Senna Mullen, young Kenny as well. So they've a lot of sort of talent around there, but having that spine right down the middle will give them a chance, you feel, to staying up. And I think anything from Dundalk is success is ninth up and just slowly rebuilding. And we look at what has happened to Cork and a lot of teams. They've come up and down, but just staying up for a year or two gives you a chance to build, and that'll be the key for Dundalk. I think the big question around Shamrock Rovers is we all expect them to win the league, and the biggest question mark around them is probably, have they improved enough? I'm not so sure they have, but has anyone else got enough about them to sort of steal the title back off them? Not sure.
We'll come to the contenders in just a moment, but in terms of Shamrock Rovers, a couple of additions on the pitch which we'll get to in a moment, but in terms of the reshuffle at boardroom level with Ronan Finn coming in replacing Stephen McPhail, how significant is this?
We will find out. It feels like there's always been a bit of noise around Shamrock Rovers in the background. I think Ronan will probably cross the divide, and in many sense he would have good relationship. My understanding is good relationship with the two sort of fractions within the club that there is. So I think from that point of view, it should be, you know, a positive. Him and Stephen Bradley seem to have a very, very good relationship from back in their playing days. He was his captain, etc. So, and as I said, Ronan has, you know, a lot of good contacts throughout the club. So that's a wait and see a little bit. I think at times that character needs to be a strong character. Is Ronan strong enough to take on Stephen Bradley at times? We'll find out. and other times he needs to be the manager's best mate. So, you know, Ronan's very, very experienced guy, and he's done a lot of work. It felt it was inevitable he was going to get this job over the last 2 or 3 years. It's sort of, he probably had that one pinned on his notice board at home, and ultimately he's got it. So, best of luck to him, you know.
The thing about the noise at Shamrock Rovers over the past couple of seasons is that it's never really affected them on the pitch too much. Like, Bradley's such an open book sometimes with the media, where he'll come out and say, listen, I'm not happy with such and such a person or what the hierarchy has done in such and such a way. But he just kind of gets on with it. And it feels maybe those in power at the club as well are kind of like, look, this is Steve and he's going to speak his mind. We'll have our differences and just move on and try and do the best thing for the club.
I think that's well and good when you're winning. I think when you're in a position of strength, that's well and good to do that and behave that way. And I think when you lose games or when you lose league titles or when you don't qualify for Europe, the noise gets a little bit louder and you're not on the same footing. But, I mean, Steve and the job he's done over the last sort of 6, 7, 8 seasons is that powerful, that he's a very powerful character in the club. But ultimately, there's times he needs to remember that he's not the be-all and end-all. It's more than one man that runs a club. And at times, the club have to remember they need to give Stephen his head as well in certain situations. So, like any situation, there's a bit of give and take needed on both sides. So, I think it's good for the league, good for the club, if that noise quieting down a little bit. And I think Ronan Finn will be part of that solution, I feel.
Talk to us, Finny, about Enda Stevens. What can we expect from him?
I'm not so sure, and that's the biggest challenge. I think we went into a lot of detail in the League of Ireland pod this week around this stuff. I think Rovers back three is, you know, it's in 20 years' time, it'll be stuff of legends in terms of Dan Cleary, Pico Lopez and Lee Grace, in terms of what they've won and what they've achieved in the European football they've achieved. You would feel like Enda will fill into one of those positions, more so than a wing-back. At different stages, he may play as wing-back. So Grace has missed a lot of games over the last 12 months. Lopez will go to the World Cup, obviously. So you would imagine he brings in that little bit of experience, that little bit of know-how. He's had a wonderful career. People judge footballers, Irish footballers, in terms of premiership appearance, etc., etc. But he's had a brilliant career, you know, just below that level in England. So that should not be underestimated. He's coming back fit enough, but it's not It's not a signing where you're going. It's not one where it's putting real fear into opposition, you know. It's just a decent signing in terms of, from a League of Ireland perspective. He'll be good, but as I said, if I was a Derry City manager or the Shelbourne manager or whoever the sort of main opposition to Rovers is, that's not one that would set real fear in me.
Just to finish up on the Shamrock Rovers conversation, you've mentioned Enda Stevens there. A player who will possibly be the most talked about Rovers player all season is not going to be a new player at all. Although maybe if you include his time in Dubai as a time away, it is a new player. And in Jack Byrne, what can we expect from Jack Byrne this season? Again, similar questions to Enda Stevens.
I think Jack looks really, really fit. Whatever he's done in the off season, he's come back looking really, really fit. I'm sure there's a little bit of hunger. I know he got peed off with a couple of comments last year from people like myself, and he didn't enjoy it. So it feels like, I think if you've got a hungry Jack Byrne and you've got somebody who feels something to prove, you've got probably the best player in the league again on the way back. I think that'll be the key. And I think, to be honest with you, I think Rovers need him at his very, very best. And I think there's potentially will be. So look, he's still probably technically the best player in the league at his very, very best. He needs a few players around him to perform, but I think whatever way it's managed or whatever way it's happened, Jack coming back in is a big plus for Shamrock Rovers, and I expect big things from this season.
On tomorrow night's opponents for Shamrock Rovers, Vinny, what are you hearing about Dundalk? Are they here to stay in the top tier again. It's kind of one of these situations where the off-field issues can sometimes crop up every few months. And you're like, has the story gone away? Is everything fine? Are Dundalk ready to dine at the top table again?
Yeah, I think they are. I think Dundalk is very, very like Newcastle United in terms of, I mean, I live around Tala and I hear very, very little about Shamrock Rovers other than the national media and hear about the odd sort of bit of politics here and there. But to be fair to anybody involved with Dundalk, you've got three or four podcasts on Friday night after the game. You'll have two local newspapers, radio stations. You'll have certain tweeters here, there and everywhere. When I go in to get my hair cut anywhere around Tala, no one ever discusses Shamrock Rovers with me, but when I go and get my hair cut in Dundalk, they'll tell me all the latest gossip, all the news, right, everything. So it's a difficult, difficult environment.
Do you drive up to Dundalk to get your hair cut much?
Well, not anymore, and it's not growing as quick as it used to, unfortunately. But it's honestly, it is just a pressure cooker. And Kieran Kilduff will have to deal with that in terms of obviously the same noise won't be there that there was in the first division because it's more high profile, and second of all, they will probably obviously they lose a lot more games this year than they did last year, so it's going to be a lot more questions and noise, and it's a difficult club to be involved with, but it's also one of the great clubs. The Shed has its flaws in many ways, but when you go to Oriel Park under the lights, it is a really hostile, but it's a great ground to play in. So The local community and the club have seemed to do a lot of good things. The floodlights have been repaired. The new pitch has been laid. So there's been a lot of positives. They've had different initiatives with fans getting involved, cleaning the place and making it as best they can. So it feels like, as I spoke about the recruitment, Conor Cairns, Cornwell, Buckley, Mullen, a lot of good players with League of Ireland experience. And we look at the success Sligo have had in terms of staying up and staying up comfortably. They've done that with a lot of League of Ireland type players, and Dundalk have done the same thing. So if I was predicting now, I don't see them being the bottom team come the end of the season, and that's all they need to do for a year or two is just survive and build slowly. So it seems to be a lot of positive noise coming out of Oriel Park.
Who is the bottom team then?
I think at the moment it feels like probably Galway are going to be the one. There's a lot of turnover there, a lot of unknowns, a lot of uncertainty. Now, saying that, it's hard to say that because John Caulfield is a master, and he's a master of you know, getting the very, very best out of teams. He's very, very experienced. But it probably feels at the moment that Galway are from a recruitment point of view, probably in the worse situation than any other team at the moment, or haven't strengthened certainly with the know-how that other teams have.
A reminder as well that we're going to have that game live tomorrow evening between Shamrock Rovers and Dundalk, live here on News Talk with Vinny alongside Stephen Doyle. And as always, LOI Late Night is going to be on social media from 10 p.m. It's going to be Shane Keegan and Vinny Perth. Make sure to follow us.
No, I got dragged into this. I got bullied into earlier on.
So. Why? You're not a. You didn't want to be given your.
I have listened
hot take
in at
opinions
different
after
stage,
10 p.m.
But it was never my thing, and I got a few jabs on the way in tonight, and I've agreed to do it. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, I always find that right about now at around 9:30, you're getting warmed up for tonight. The good late night radio Vinny Perth comes out. So LOI Late Night Vinny Perth is on a whole
level. I have to get myself a Twitter account between now and Friday as well.
Is it on X? Is that where we're going with LOI Late Night? Yes, it's on X. So follow Off the Ball there to listen to that. I'm sure I presume Ben is hosting, so make sure to keep an eye on that and across all our social channels for his reports as well from the other games over the course of the weekend. So
on episode 2 of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors podcast, the stories behind the transfers that almost happened but just about didn't. Focuses on one of the greatest of all time, Pelé.
Pelé. Baba, back to Pelé. Now what's he going to do? He's got the third! Oh, a beautiful goal!
And how the Santos superstar nearly swapped Brazil for Hanover. and how a Nazi ice machine salesman nearly pulled the deal off. Dropping in your OTB Football podcast feed this Monday. Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
Vinny, to get back to the League of Ireland season, which kicks off tomorrow night, it feels like Derry City is almost the most compelling of all the teams. Not for the first time. It kind of feels that a lot of pre-season conversations over the last couple of years have talked about Derry City finally mounting a sustained title challenge. They're coming with a new heavy hitter this season in James McLean.
Yeah.
You'd have to say that makes them a bigger contender than they've been at any stage over the last number of years.
Yeah, I think Michael Duffy summed it up very well. He said he basically used the line that James gives us a bit more belief in terms of trying to win a league title, which makes lots of sense. And I think when I was talking about Enda Stevens earlier on, I sort of made the point that it wouldn't put the fear of God in you in terms of, and that was not taken away at as a player. But I think James McLean's a different case. I think his fitness levels, his sort of running power, his hunger and desire to win is a huge shot in the arm for Derry City. I think that alongside the combination of so many things, they played a system the other day, 4-2-3-1. They're so good when they played that system. I think it suits the players. Last year, they played a lot with a back three and different formations didn't really work. But they signed the lad from Drogheda Thomas up front, but the three behind them, Michael Duffy, James Clark and Markey from Drogheda, is very, very exciting. That is as good a three behind or a sort of a front line as there is in the league. And obviously then McLean coming in, his brother playing a centre half. They've a lot to like about the Fleming, maybe, is outstanding. So I think the pressure will come on a little bit now because I think it's time that they put a title challenge in and a proper one. And I feel they've got the sort of players to do that this year. I think they'd be a real serious contenders this season. And McLean gives them that little bit of belief.
McLean is definitely a new element, but is there not an aspect of deja vu here where we kind of say they've got the quality in the squad now to contend, and then after 2 months of the season we're like, oh, actually you can't just sign a heap of players and hope for them to be a cohesive unit within their first couple of games?
No, I think this is different. I think this is different. This feels different. Winning the President's Cup, and people involved with Shamrock Rovers will say, well, it's only President's Cup, we played this fella, that fella, we didn't really try, but this is different. I remember being involved, went down to Cork with a team, my first ever game as a manager, and we beat Cork and a very good Cork team, and the knock-on effect and the psychological boost it gave us was huge, and also the damage it done to them. Now it's not the same for Rovers, they're in a stronger position than that Cork team, whereas than we be, but I think that's a huge opportunity for them, and the first four games were home, which is huge, so they've a real chance of getting up and running. So I think this feels different, and it should feel different, and they should have a belief. And I think the sort of, if I had one criticism of their manager last year, he was searching and searching for formations for the right players. I think they found it by hook or by crook, that sort of 4-2-3-1, and they've got to stick with that. And the criticism of the manager a little bit last year was that they sort of shut up shop and weren't expansive. I think if you're going to win the league title, you've got to go and earn it and go and make it happen and outscore teams. And they've got the firepower to do that now. So that, for me, means they've a real, real chance to be crowned champions at the end of the season.
A couple of other bits on Derry City, Vinny. On the surface being relayed, I often thought the controversy around the surface or how much it's been spoken about over the last couple of years was actually something that was in Derry's favour because they're playing on it more than anybody else. In the long run, is this going to be a good thing for them?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, the biggest criticism of, again, going back to my own experience that Dundalk team was involved with was the pitch we played on, but we actually had a better record away from home. We love grass and the summer football and ball moving across the top of it. And I think for Derry, it might look maybe even better than what Oriel did. Oriel Park is at a new surface laid as well, but it was really poor, very poor to walk on. There was no give on it, all of that stuff. So I think it's a positive move. And it was that bad that I don't think you could train on it on a regular basis. They didn't, and therefore they weren't on it as much as people thought, you know. So I think that's a real positive. And again, the owner has really backed that club. They've built the stand at the back of the goal, which is a huge sort of, it's a council-owned facility, but they've built the stand themselves at the back of the goal, which is huge, and they're going to invest a lot of money in relaying the pitch and going back to grass. So that's a real positive, and the players will be thankful of it. They've picked up a lot of injuries there over the last sort of 18 months, and the one way of fixing that is getting back to onto the grass.
They're going to play 6 games at Celtic Park, which is right beside the Brandywell, in fairness.
You can see the floodlights actually on one to the other,
So that's going to be an interesting wrinkle to them this season. Just one final question on them in terms of, you know, the influence of McLean. Are we about to enter into an era where James McLean gets the sort of Damien Duff treatment? I suppose he doesn't have to come out and do media after every game like a manager would, so there is that wrinkle.
It's funny, you're conflicted on a little bit, aren't you? Because getting called a banker with a W is not the biggest insult, and it's fine to have that. I'm okay with that. But there is a line, to be fair, and James has his own lines, and we all have our own line, and whatever it is, like, one of the highlights in my career was standing in front of the new sort of stand in Talla Stadium, and 1,400 people saying Vinnie Peart is a banker with a W. I loved every minute of it, right? But the stuff about being an Orange B is not good enough, like, in it. And so, but that is, James going to have to deal with that. And I think sometimes he could deal with just being a little bit quieter, but he's entitled to his own opinion. He's had it difficult at different stages. I love him. I love him as a person. I love what he stands for. I would consider him not to get too sort of republic about it, but I would consider him as a brother, an Irish brother. I'm comfortable with what he has to fight for and why he feels he needs to do that. And anybody is critical of him, I don't like that. I think there's a line you don't cross, and we all have our own line. So if somebody last week crossed the line with him, he's right to let people know that. So, but he just needs to be careful that it doesn't become about him too much. And I think he will be conscious of that a little bit, and it becomes about the team. And the team is the most important part. And so there's a fine balance with it all. But I'm okay with James fighting his cause, because, as I said, he's had a difficult, and I think he's done it really respectfully, in my view. He released a statement a couple of years ago, and when I read that statement, I was always on Team McLean, and I will be for as long as that needs to be the case.
Talk to us about today's news then, that Shelburne have managed to secure the signing of Will Jarvis. This was a real race to get him. How big a deal is this going to be in terms of not only Shelburne season, but in terms of what way you're looking at the entire league this year?
Yeah, I think outside of Derry, I think it felt like Shell's finished the season really well. The job Joey O'Brien has done has been remarkable. Qualifying for Europe didn't go that well for them. But I think Jarvis, it felt like one of the reasons they struggled last season was they never replaced Jarvis, really. And then Harry Wood came good in the second half of the season, and the results came with it. But I think that's an outstanding signing. I think from a playing point of view, they've got the players. It feels like they're going to play with a back three and two wing backs. And Norris signing from Liverpool is another important signing. That's become a permanent deal. And Bang from Cork, really, really good. My only fear is, where do the goals come from? And do they have someone good enough to score enough goals from? But when you add Wood and Jarvis in, you've potential of two lads maybe getting 10, 12, 13 between each, which makes up for a centre forward. So they have it all there. They've got one or two players, like Kieran McEnroy is one of the best players in the league. Harry Wood is thereabouts. Paddy Barrett has done brilliant for them. I think they've got the best goalkeeper in the league. So therefore, you know, they're there, thereabouts. It's really, outside of Shamrock Rovers, it feels like there's two, three teams that, if they're good enough to knock them off the perch, there's an opportunity to do it this season.
Vinny, you've described Shells as being there or thereabouts. Like, you're making them a title contender?
Yeah, I think they are. I think because it's so competitive in the league, it's not like over the years we've often had two teams go head for head, and we probably will this season. But there's potential for sort of Shells, Derry to go and win a league this season. So I think Shells squad wise is very, very good. The challenge that everybody has is, are you good enough to take it off Rovers? I don't think Rovers have significantly improved. I don't feel that they've sort of brought in three or four signings that are going to scare all of the other teams. So therefore, the challenge for everybody else is, have you done enough to go and overtake them? I think my concern is, I still think Rovers will win the league, but my concern is they've just stood still, but that doesn't mean others have done enough to overtake them.
The Football Show on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today.